everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA. Today we are bringing you episode 39 of our podcast, which is entitled Club 55. Hey, and thank you, digital audience, for that nice reception. Today's episode has a craps segment, highly anticipated, which features a field test of a craps betting system, the Hammerlock, that claims it almost brought down Minion's Horseshoe Casino back in the 1990s. Big claim. We'll talk about what happened when we played it. We'll be visiting the Southern Indiana's Rising Star, where we stayed in a suite in a lodge, and a day-long visit to the Belterra downriver for afternoon and evening craps. And also, we'll have a segment today of casino group therapy. So hang on, we'll be right back and start our show. Well, we thought we'd bring back the Christy Choir, for a visit. They're going to be staying for casino group therapy, I guess. Hey, have a seat, guys and ladies, and just be quiet, please, while we're podcasting. Oh, man, we work so hard on this show. And our listeners in their cars, well, they're already in their seats. And our listeners at home, hey, you might be in bed. It doesn't matter if you're standing on your head. Just thanks for listening. But, you know, Club 55, well, is that a place, like, from the disco era? No. Well, maybe there was one, but that's not how we're thinking of it. There's advantages to being a member of Club 55, but when you're 48 and you don't want to even turn 50, you think, oh, no, I don't care about the advantages. But once you turn 55, you start to think, hey, I deserve this, and I get show tickets, movie tickets, and I get breaks at lunches and restaurants, and I get casino buffets for free sometimes. Yeah, at least a BOGO. Here's the first test, eye test. Take a look around at a casino during weekdays. And, you know, even on the Las Vegas Strip, I mean, you know, there are people of all ages who are vacationing, but other than Atlantic City or Las Vegas, take a look at the area casinos where you are during the week. And I want to tell you something. It's Boomer City. And if you happen to know that a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, there's a senior citizen discount at the buffet, maybe buy one, get one. Wow, there's a stampede. Oh, and as I said in Facebook, you know, if you can't figure that out in dog years, you got to be able to prove that you're 55 or older. But we were at the Rising Star. We really enjoyed our stay there. We were there for 3 days, 3 nights. But the second day, we knew that the Belterra, because we follow these casinos, we're ridiculous. We knew the Belterra was having senior citizen buffet day, Club 55. And so we drove down. If you come out of the Rising Star and you just make a left, you know, since you get to the road, you just follow that road for 26 miles and you'll run into the Belterra. It's like Children of the Corn. There's this giant, you know, all these cornfields. And then there's this giant hotel. It's like, it's almost like a Vegas Strip hotel. It's like 600 and something rooms. And of course, it's very, very upscale and is attached to a riverboat. But that's not the point I'm making. The river road from Rising Sun, which is where the Rising Star is, that's a beautiful little Indiana town. Right out of Back to the Future, I'm telling you, is awesome. It is an artistic community. You just have to stop there, put that on your bucket list. But you follow that river road, and school buses are on this road. I want to tell you, this is like in the morning sun, and it's just terrifying. You have to concentrate. There's no margin for error. In certain places, slide areas, okay, the road's broken up and patched and repatched. If you go off the road, you're going into the river or you're going into a ditch. And I'm talking about you're going to tow to your car and maybe get hurt. It's scary. And we understand that finally, after years of this river road thing between Florence, Indiana, which is where the Belterra is, and Rising Sun, Indiana, which is where Rising Star is, may soon end, because we understand the state of Indiana finally came to their senses and said, hey, we can't run school buses on this road. And then the other thing, being from a river town myself in Pittsburgh, I can just imagine this river road in the evenings, you know, with deer and animals coming across the road to drink from the river, and also fog. It's terrifying to think about it, but we did it. We went down, and when you're going down, you're not on the river side of the road. It's only a two-lane road, but it's still bad. There's some really bad areas, and coming back from Florence to Rising Sun, you're on the riverside, and hey, good night, concentrate, no texting, keep both hands on the wheel, slow down when it tells you to slow down, and you'll be okay. But it's scary. But why did we go down? Why did we drive 26 miles? Because, well, first of all, the Belterra, their buffet is, it's, I don't know, it approximates like half the Rio's buffet, but they have a fresh fish station every day. They blacken fish, and they have salmon and trout and tilapia, and then they have a choice of two or three meats, all the veggies. It's just a wonderful, wonderful buffet. Any time of day, night, lunch, breakfast, it's sensational. And it's pricey, you know, for the area. So when you can get a 2-for-1 because you're Club 55, baby, you're over 55, you would do it. But we had played craps for almost 5 hours the first night of our stay at Rising Star. And then we probably played, I'm going to say, another 5 or 6 hours at the Belterra. And we had a buffet break in the middle. You know, we went down there. Janie went into Vivi, which is about 4 or 5 miles down the river further from Florence and from the Belterra. And she has a lot of old friends there. And she's an antiquer. She's a picker. You know, she wanted to catch up because she hasn't been there since October. So I was at the craps table, and I was playing the Hammerlock, and had those sessions there. And then the next day, we went back to Rising Star, and late that evening, I played some there, and then two more sessions. So Club 55 was definitely worth it, and it's always worth it. And hey, if you're 50 years old, don't delay it, you know what I mean? Don't try to sneak around and say, I'm only 40. Take your discount, baby. Take that Club 55 discount. But one of the things I've talked about, I play craps a lot, and you know, I'm in a position to do that. We have a beautiful casino in Pittsburgh, the Rivers Casino. It's right near Heinz Field and PNC Park. And if you picture those areas right along the river, it's a beautiful casino. And then as you go out of Pittsburgh toward the Pittsburgh airport, and then you would turn south before you get to the airport, you run into the Meadows, and that's nice. That's on the way to Willing, too. So you have the Willing, although we don't go there that often, but the Meadows is also being purchased by the Boyds. How about that? And we'll see what changes that brings. It was purchased by Pinnacle, I believe, and then they had it about a year, and they sold it. That's a racetrack, horse racing, and also full-service casino hotel attached to it. The Hyatt Hotel is attached to it. And we also have Nemacolin, is a resort, 5-star resort. And on that property is a casino called Lady Luck. They lease land from Nemacolin. They're not, I don't think the Nemacolin Hardy family owns it, but they lease it to another gaming company. And just 2.5-3 hours, depending on where you are in the Pittsburgh suburbs, is the Rocky Gap Casino in Flintstone, Maryland. So I have a chance to play craps a lot. Now, my wife tells me we're going to be increasingly loyal to Rocky Gap in the weeks ahead because she loves it there in the summertime because of White Sand Beach. It's in a state park. Fire pits at night. That's on casino property. Outside bar. Friendly staff. 3 excellent restaurants. It's just a fantastic place for her, and we enjoy it. And it's only an hour 10 or 15 from our son and his family who live in Columbia, Maryland. so they sometimes come up. There's an indoor pool, but there's also this beautiful mountain lake. So that's where we play in craps. But the question I guess we have before we start into the Hammerlock is, well, would I play the Hammerlock craps in Pittsburgh? Would I play the Hammerlock at the Meadows or at Rocky Gap? And I would tell you, I would play some of it because there are some parts of it that I think are really good. I played sort of like this sometimes as well before I even read about the Hammerlock. But there are other parts of it I had to adapt to survive. But I'm going to give you a breakdown. I'm going to just take a chance to catch my breath, put a little island music up, and then we'll come right back and I'll give you the financial aspects of the crap wires that we put in, and then we'll talk about how exactly you play Hammerlock and how you can actually purchase a system yourself if you wanted to, okay? And, you know, before I leave, I want to say all betting systems work if the dice go the way they have to make it work. I think it's wrong to ridicule betting systems. I think it's wrong to think there's only one way to play craps, because I've seen people win money, big money, with some of the worst bets you could ever think of. And I actually saw on this trip somebody chase their losses, which is, everyone's told you shouldn't do. It's one of my commandments of gambling. But this guy did and won. You know, say, hey, is there one right way? I don't think so. So we'll be coming right back for the details of the Hammerlock craps. And if you're in Club 55, congrats. Enjoy it, baby. Enjoy it. The Hammerlock. Well, look, just go to YouTube and type in Hammerlock. And the promo I heard was voiced by Russell Hunter. Okay, and he starts out by telling you that, hey, listen, you can win. This is just the start. You can win $1,142 an hour to start. And that they almost took down Binion's Horseshoe on Fremont Street 20 years ago. Millions of dollars they won. And, of course, the system is super secret. These are, quote, super secret system. All right. And this system will take away the house edge. And you realize that you have the house in a Hammerlock, which is, you know, painful move in wrestling. Studio and real, I suppose. But it's just over the top. What they say about it is just over the top. And then if you pursue, you know, the download, if you want to download it, and you get a few ancillary materials, you get how to play craps, you get how to win $10,000 a day, something like that, and yeah, I guess other things that you get. But the download, just for today, and it's like that every day, it seems, just for today. and this is going to quit soon. They're going to cut this off soon, everybody. So, you know, you download it for $99, but normally it's $500, okay? So I've checked different days, and it's just for today, it's $99. So, hey, that's up to you. Maybe it goes to $500, too, all right? But the promo is, you know, 14, 15 minutes, and it gives you the basics. And that's what I used, of course, as a field test. I didn't download the system, but you can anticipate how it would work. My first two times with the Hammerlock, I was at a $5 table, and that's how they want you to start it as well. That's what they suggest. I was plus 45 after 2 hours, $45 up. And the second day, I was second, you know, turn at the table, I was plus $75. I'm not going to take down any casinos with that. But at the Belterre, I talked about the Belterre earlier in the podcast. Lost $130. Uh-oh. I came back that night and played the Hammerlock again at Rising Star. Won $60. And then in the final day and evening, I won $70. Lost $80, I think it was. Anyways, it turns out after 3 days and you know, a good, you know, 10, 11, maybe even 12 hours, I was plus $210. Yeah. And I think my adaptations to it, I gave myself another $50 because I did some things that they didn't tell me to do, but I just knew I had to do. You know what I mean? So anyway, if I would have spent $99 for it, you know, I still would have been ahead. My wife told me it was 18 hours of crap, so maybe it was. I don't know. But I still ended up in the black and close to $300, you know. But that's not the point. The point is, like, what is it? And what's so different about it? Well, it's the first thing we do is talk about smart crabs. And so if you're at a $5 table, and this would probably involve, I don't want to make up numbers, but 85% of the people, maybe even 90% of the people that you see, and most days, sometimes it's 99, 100% of the people at the table are pass line players. So the puck is over to the left of the number four. It's a new game, and they'll put $5 on the pass line. And a number is rolled. If it's a 7-11, the pass line wins. If it's a 2-3 or 12, the pass line loses. And if it's neither of those, if a point number is rolled, which would be 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, the puck is flipped over to white and goes to above that number. So that's an established point. That's a good phrase to use when you talk about craps, an established point. So in the promo, they don't roll dice. They just move dice around. And, you know, to me, if you play dice and if you set dice, you can move dice around pretty quickly because the top and bottom of a die always equals 7. So, you know, if you're looking for a 3 and the top says 4, you know there's a 3 at the bottom, right? If you're looking for a 1 and the top says 6, you know there's a 1 at the bottom. That's not hard. And, you know, so the opposite ends of a die, whether it's top, bottom, or side to side, is always going to total 7. If it doesn't, it's illegal dice. They're not crap dice. Maybe for a board game, it'd be okay, but they're not crap dice. In the hammerlock, you would place your $5 on the don't pass and the pass line. So if you were just on the don't pass by itself, on the come out roll, a 2 or 3 would win. A 12 is a push. So by placing both of them on the pass line and the don't pass, the only way you can lose any money is if somebody rolls a 12. Now, should you hedge it for a buck? I say no, don't. Because it would be a freakish thing to get a whole lot of 12s. If a whole lot of 12s started coming, yeah, I'd start putting more money than a dollar on it. But so that's the only way you're vulnerable. So why would you do that? Well, I often play the don't pass. And so why I did it in the past wasn't because the hammerlock system told me to do that. I don't want to sweat the come out roll because if you're at a $15 table or a $25 table and you want to go $25 or $15 on a don't pass, you got to sweat the come out roll because, you know, my approach to craps is always to think the most likely number in the next roll to come up is going to be a 7, all right? That's probably going to come up. And so a lot of times, you know, on a $15 table, you could lose $45, 3 sevens, bang. If, you know, $25 table, boom, $75. But it's like, yeah, wow. So then, you know, we've talked about ways to get around that by laying numbers, by hedging with hopping to 7. You know, there's things that you can do to get around that, but it costs money to do that, and you got to put more money at risk. So why not just put $5 on the pass and $5 on the don't pass? Or if it's a $15 table, $15 on the pass, $15 on the don't pass. You know, and if it's 25, I would stick a dollar in a 12 then, because I don't want to lose 25 bucks. But so if it's 25, 25 again, and you have a dollar and a 12, there's no risk whatsoever. But let's go back. It's a $5 table, and that's what I was doing at the Rising Star. So you have $5 on the don't pass, $5 on the pass line. The roll was taken, and the point established is a 9. So you're going to take odds on the don't pass, and they want you to take odds for $30. So, you know, that you put a, beside that $5 chip, I'm going to put a quarter, and I'm going to lay $5 right beside it on just on it. Don't worry about setting it up properly. The dealer will fix it if you do it wrong. So I have 30 odds. So if a 7 is rolled before that 9 is made, then from the don't pass line, I'm going to win $20. So I'm going to win, you know, I'm going to get 2 for 3. If it was a odds bet behind the pass line, it would be 3 for 2. So, you know, there's a, you're putting money at risk. You don't get back everything. But that's why people don't sometimes want to go to the don't pass, because when you take odds, you're getting less than you actually risk. So you risk 30, you get 20 on a win. And, of course, why is that? Well, chances are a 7 will come up before a 9 is rolled. That's the odds of the game. So for every 3 you bet, you're going to get 2. So you bet 30, and if you win, you get 20. That's it. All right, now, we're still in step 2. After you quickly lay odds on a don't pass at $30 at a $5 table, you're going to place the 6 and 8. You're going to place the 6 and 8. You're going to place them each for $12. So you have $24 in place bets on the table. Now, I want you to think about this. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The don't pass line doesn't protect those bets, because if a 7 is rolled on the next roll, think about this. I already told you I'm going to win $20 in the don't pass, but I'm going to lose $24 on my 6 and 8, $12 each. Now, you know, talk about turning the screw on the house. Who's getting screwed now? So, ouch. You know, so what are you thinking? Like, should I risk more money on a don't pass? Well, I didn't. You know, I wanted to test the system. And, you know, there were a lot of times, the first or second roll, pow, there was a 7, and I lost those place bets. If I'd been playing just a don't pass like I do, you know, I already did that. A lot of times I'd play, bet the pass line, don't pass, and take odds on a don't pass. And I would often, what I would do is I would, the number was a 4, a 6, an 8, or a 10, I would make a $3 bet on it on a hard way, in case it was rolled that way to protect me, kind of a hedge bet for the don't pass. But that was something about the system. And that happened to me a lot, you know, where particularly when the point was a 6 or 8. So, boom, you know, one roll, there's a 6. But a lot of times it was, a 4, a 10. Boom, first roll, they roll a 10. And you lost the $24 on the place bets. And you won the don't pass, but you still lost money. I didn't like that. So, but that's what the promo tape shows you. But what they want to happen is they want you to get a hit on a 6 and 8. So there's $14 win, $12 pays 14. But surprisingly, they want you now to take the bets down. So you've won $14 and you take your place bets down. But then you say, this is step 3, inside 22. So you took the $12 off the 6 and $12 off the 8, and you go 1 unit. So you go $5 on the 5, $6 on the 6, $6 on the 8, and $5 on the 9, even though 9 is the established point. And bang, okay. So if that hits, let's say it does. Let's say a 5 comes up the next roll. You win $7. So now you take the $14 that you have and this $7, that's $21, okay, and you take all the place bets down. And I'm still scratching my head here. But watch the promo tape. If the point is made, I'm going to lose $30. That's the odds bet that I have on the don't pass. And I only made $21. So if the point is made, where's all this talk about the house edge being my side? Huh? Because it's not happening. You know what I mean? So there's vulnerabilities galore in this system. Oh, no, I could keep the 6 and 8 up longer. And they tell you, oh, yeah, sometimes it's okay to do that. I guess you got to download to get the exact time. And It's sometimes you just leave the inside 22 up longer. But if you do it exactly the way they tell you, you would lose money if somebody makes the established point. But let's say they don't. Okay, so you won $21 and they throw a couple times in. You're kind of mad because they throw a 6, they throw an 8. You'd be making money, but you took your bets down. But boom, they throw a 7. So now you win $20 from the don't pass odds bet that you made. You bet 30 to win 20. You have $5 on the don't pass, $5 on the pass, so those two cancel each other out. So all you won were the odds bet on the don't pass. So you add that $20 to the $21, you won $41. And did it happen? Yeah, it happened, and it happened a lot. You know, but also early points happened too, and I would lose money. So, you know, it's not devastating. It's not devastating. At one point, a player beside me, this was at the Rising Star, said, because we had talked a little bit about stuff, where you're from. You know, I had a Penguins. The Penguins were actually playing while we were down there, and I had a Penguins hoodie on, and he was from Columbus. He was for the Blue Jackets, and, you know, we were kidding each other. And he said to me, hey, man, can you really make money doing that? And I said, hey, well, they claim someone took down a casino doing this. So let's talk about that claim, all right? So if you go through the material that's in the promo information, if you know you won, so I won $41. So what if I times everything times 5, you know, or times 10? You know, what if I would put that much more money out there and won $410? That's the thing. Like, you all of a sudden, you know, if there was an early established point rolled, I wouldn't be losing $24. Maybe I'd be losing, you know, $90 or, you know, whatever it would be. It's easy to look back and say, oh, if I'd have been betting more money, I mean, I won $41. If I'd have been betting 10 times that, I would have won $400. Well, of course, but you would have put a lot more money at risk. So I didn't embrace, you know, the promo jive, the way they talked about it, you know, like you were going to get $10,000 a day. Yeah, you know, you can win $10,000 playing craps. I did one time win more than $10,000 in a crap session, but I didn't come in with big kind of money. It was just an incredibly long roll, and it just started pressing everything up. And that can happen any day. It can happen. And that's if you're a pass line player, man, that's what keeps you going back. It's like golf when you're not doing well, but you do well for a couple holes and you think, oh man, I'm going to go back. And, you know, you have somebody that makes 4 or 5 points and you think, well, what if it was 40 points? You know what I mean? That could have happened. And maybe you had an experience like that where somebody made 20, 25 points and you won a couple grand and you think that could happen. And that's the whole thing. You know, they can say whatever they want to say. I don't know what the truth in advertising laws are. You know, I'm usually pretty hip to legalities, but on the internet, I don't know. Some of these incredible claims, there's no documentation to say who this tall, lanky Texan was in the 1990s that won millions, you know, at Binion's. The story is just incredible. You have to go on and read it. So I'll go through the steps one more time. This is the Hammerlock promo tape. If you want to spend $99, if it's your day to spend $99 instead of $500, and download it and get the free books, and get the manual, you know, be my guest. But you put the same amount of money on the pass line as the don't pass line. And in our example, in the promo example, was $5 on the pass line, $5 on the don't pass line. No 12 with that low figure. Just take the risk. Okay, step 2, established point is made. And you place the 6 and 8 for $12 each. Okay, and a hit on a 6 or 8 would give you $14. You stay like that until somebody makes the point, 7's out, which either way you're going to lose money, or till you get a hit on a 6 and 8. If you get a 6 and 8, a hit on a 6 or 8, that's a $14 win. You go to step 3. You take those two bets down, and now you bet inside 22. That's one unit on the 5, the 6, the 8, 9. So it's $5, $6, $6, $5. Okay, you play that until you get one hit. That's a $7 win. So 14-7, that's 21. You take all the place bets down, and now you're just stuck with your don't pass odds bet. And if somebody sevens out before they make the established point, you, my friends, will make $41. Not too bad. A little bit of risk. Not a great risk. I would say this is one of those systems. If you went to the craps table with your buddies and you knew you're going to be there from, let's say, 7:30 to 11:30, and then you're going to have a few drinks and go home, walk in the front door at 1 a.m., you'd be a little bit up or a little bit behind. You know, I don't think you'd lose a ton playing this way. That's not what the promo suggests. Again, the promo starts out by saying win $1,142 an hour. I don't know where they get that figure, but that's what they promise. That's not what happened to me. And the way I adapted it on my third day, which was my best day at the tables at Rising Star, won over $200, maybe another 50 or 60 with my adaptations. I started playing DC, you know, Don't Come. Started putting $5 on that. And I started playing as a hedge. I started hedging the 4, 6, or 8, and 10 when they were established numbers with $3 or $4 on a hard way bet in case it did come early. And it did a couple times, a couple hard 10s I picked up, you know, saved myself from losing that $30 odds bet. I didn't make much money, but I saved myself from losing it all with that hedge bet. So that's the thing I made. You can increase that odds bet, or you know what, you can just use part of the system. I like the first part of the system. If you want to try don't pass and you're afraid of that pass line come out roll killing you, you know, put whatever it is, a $10 table, put $10 on the don't pass, $10 on the pass line, and just make an odds bet when the established point is made. And you know what? If it's a cold table, you're going to win money. And don't do the other things. If you wanted to go after the 6 and 8, or just the 6 or just the 8, that's okay, too. Again, they want you to place both numbers, and that's not uncommon either. There's a lot of don't pass players that do place the 6 or 8, and how long they keep it up usually is not just for one hit, but you can increase that to $18 and $18. That would make a little more sense to me. Put $36 at risk and see what happens. Okay, these are things you can do. But that's the promo for the Hammerlock, and is it worth $99? Well, you have to answer that because I'm not spending $99 to find out. But the promo is too good to be true. It's not a secret. It's out there, okay? And people have been playing this way for a long time. But you enjoy the promo. Check it out on YouTube. Russell Hunter, the Hammerlock. And don't forget the other odds. You know, if you're talking about a 4 or a 10, you have to put down 2 to win 1. That's right. $20 lay bet, odds pays 10. And if it's a 6 or 8, you've got to put down 6 to win 5. So 12 would win you $10. That's the chance you have to take when you're playing odds on the don't pass. Short break and coming back for Casino Group Therapy. Oh, yeah. Casino Group Therapy. Hang on. In Casino Group Therapy today, we're going to deal with this premise. The casino business is changing, and that creates a lot of concern and anxiety. So I asked Janie, my partner, to come down and talk about the casino business and changes.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane. We thought we'd talk about this because it's so apparent now that we've been doing this visiting casinos for so many years and watching as more and more casinos pop up or open, which is the reason for a lot of the changes. You know, years ago, first Nevada just had legal gambling, and then Atlantic City, we all know the history, but then so many states opened casinos. And for instance, when we were at Southern Indiana this last week, we pass 5 other casinos on the way there. We pass the Rivers in Pittsburgh. We pass the Meadows in Washington, PA. We pass Wheeling Downs in Wheeling, West Virginia. We pass the Otodowns in Columbus, and we pass Belterra Park in Cincinnati. And then there's the three in Indiana, southern Indiana. So there's just so many, and you know there's only so many discretionary dollars that can go to these. So casinos have to figure out ways to bring customers in and then keep them once they get them. So we'd like to just give you a couple examples here. We're following the history of the resort that we stayed at, which is the Rising Star Casino in Rising Sun, Indiana. It used to be called the Grand Victoria when the Hyatt Corporation owned it. But there's a company that bought them called Full House Resorts. Their company offices moved to Las Vegas in 1998 from California. And since then, they've bought and sold several casinos around the country. Presently, they own two casinos in Nevada, the Grand Lodge in Incline Village and Stockman's Casino in Fallon, Nevada. They recently purchased Bronco Billy's in Cripple Creek, Colorado. They also own the Silver Slipper in Mississippi. We always like to stay at the Rising Star, and it's a riverboat resort. Full House bought the boat and the hotel from the Hyatt Corporation in 2011. And they changed the name from Grand Victoria to Rising Star. They paid $43 million for it. And wow, did they bring change to this property. They built a second hotel called The Lodge on the property, adding more rooms to a total of 294. That's counting both hotels. We like to stay in a suite in The Lodge, because it has the fridge and the microwave and is large. It has the upscale bath products, the amenities we like. It's a nice walk to the casino. And in the main building, you have the indoor pool that we use every day when we're there. There's a 24-hour shuttle that takes guests from the lodge to the main hotel, but it's an easy walk when it's nice weather. They have almost 1,000 slot machines on the boat and 25 table games. There's three and a half floors in the boat and three full-service bars that feature video poker machines. And in the nice weather in the summer, they have a tiki bar on the top deck outside, where there's tables that you can sit, and there's drink service. Slot machines are out there, too. So it's very nice, and they have the tiki torches out there. They've also upgraded the golf course. It has 18 holes, and there's Scottish links. And they improved the indoor pool area by adding a large stone patio.
I know that you were really happy about that.
Oh, right, because used to be, they just had little cement slabs right outside the door of the pool and some lawn chairs there that you could sit in. But now they made a very large bricked-in patio area where you can sunbathe. And, you know, it's fun to watch. It's very busy, the Ohio River there. A lot of barge traffic. And you can look at the actual riverboat while you're sitting there. It's neat. Watch the geese and the hawks flying around. Okay, they've also upgraded the menu at the pub bar that's in the pavilion. The pavilion also features the River Buffet, the Wellington Steakhouse. There's a Queen City Market there where they serve the ever-popular Cincinnati Skyline Chili, and believe me, it's very good. And you can get it all the five ways that they serve it. They have it. There's a grand theater for performers and shows, and they have weekend entertainment every week now, and they're high caliber. Now, what changed a lot that we were exposed to this week was they took away the breakfast bar buffet. It's only available now on Saturdays and Sundays. And so Monday through Friday, you now order off the menu, which we were probably contrary to most of the other guests. We liked that because buffets early in the morning sometimes, that's just a lot of food. And again, you could say, well, you don't have to eat it all. But, you know, when you pay a certain price for a buffet, you want to get your money's worth. Plus, it's hard, you know, the willpower there when you see all the dishes that are made and that you could have. So, but on ordering off the menu, you could order just a bowl of oatmeal. You could order, have an order of toast, one egg if you want one egg, and one piece of bacon. So we like that. Now, that's Mondays through Fridays. And then at 11, they do start a brunch Monday through Fridays.
Let me add that. Yeah, I know you got the oatmeal. I know you love oatmeal. I do too, but I ordered a breakfast. It was $8, included the coffee, toast, sausage, potatoes, and eggs. I guess it didn't include the coffee. Okay, but that's quite a price. I mean, that's a price you'd get at, you know, at a Denny's or a Bob Evans kind of thing. It was delicious. And personally, I think the food's upgraded on that breakfast buffet.
Well, yeah, and we spoke a lot to a couple of the waitresses that we've gotten to know over the years that have worked there all this time. They said they felt that definitely the quality of the food was better because it isn't sitting out at all. It's all fresh. The service is excellent. It's very fast, and you get that nice hot food. It's a little different, and it was a little bit of adjusting. You know, I watched the waitresses talking to people who were objecting to it and who were shocked because it only that we were there for the second week of it. That's it.
I just wanted to add this because it's not a breakfast buffet. When you're playing table games and you ask for a comp, and that's something that I've encouraged all our listeners to do, you know, ask for a food credit. Well, what they'll do now is they'll just go look at your play, you know, in the moment, like the last hour and a half, and instead of giving you a buffet comp, they'll give you a price. They'll give you, we're going to put a $10 food credit on your card or a $20 food credit on your card. So that makes sense too, you know, because you don't have to use it all at one time. Like if you just wanted to go in there for oatmeal, which is what, $2?
Right, it's $2.
Yeah.
Then most of the items were $2.
So if
the
you
coffee
got
coffee was $2, the oatmeal was $2, the toast.
Yeah, I like that because yeah. Say you spend $5 for, you know, a breakfast and then, you know, coffee and oatmeal and toast or whatever. And then you come back at lunch, you get the buffet, or later in the evening, you still have $15 food credit that you can use. Instead of using it all in one shot when you don't really want to, I think that makes sense. I like that.
Right. And I think part of the issue of having a large buffet breakfast is a lot of times you've been up late in the casino, you've been playing and maybe snacking, maybe drinking, maybe having some chicken wings at the bars or whatever. So you're not just all that hungry. But again, this is coming because of the changes and the company line, and you know, that the waitresses were giving us were, you know, why have all this food go to waste, you know, have it sit out because they can't let it sit out all day and then reheat it, and that they felt this was a much more efficient for the casino.
Jane,
so
we
liked that change.
I wanted to ask you to talk about something that I, you know, we've been kicking around the last year or two, like, should we get an RV? And part of that is because of our dog.
it's almost all because of our dog.
You know, I think a lot of RV people probably feel the same way.
Yes.
You can't leave the dog with someone else all the time, even if it's family.
And you want to take your dog.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So anyway, can you just talk about what Full House did at Rising Star?
Well, they built a 56-space RV park, and it's very nice. It has a building, the shower and bath building, which has laundry facilities too, and they have all the they have power, water, cable TV, all the services that you need. It's all fenced in. Then there's the dog walking area that's fenced in separately within this enclosure. They have some areas there for children to play some games.
Well, they have some adult games, too. I mean,
well, now, yeah, they are putting in 3 courts. They do have shuffleboard on the property right now. They're building a bocce ball court and a croquet court that would be for children or adults. Now, I was surprised that we were there Wednesday and Thursday, and there were only maybe 2 vehicles in there at that time.
Big ones.
Big ones, yeah. But only, and they had their cars with them that I saw. They had kayaks and, you know, so there's a lot of other activity going on from that spot. And then, but by Friday, at least 40 had pulled in. And I'm sure more were coming on Saturday. So it's very well utilized. And again, if you're staying there, you can use the all the facilities in the pavilion. You can use all those food services and then the indoor pool as well.
You know what? I actually got offered a free night in the RV park, which unfortunately I don't have an RV. Guess we can
rent
one.
Right, yeah. I guess. But there are other activities around that southern Indiana area where people can go kayaking. They can visit the towns. There's golfing. There's several, you know, Indiana's so flat. There are several golf courses, and one big attraction is the Speedway.
The Kentucky Speedway.
Yeah,
across the river.
Yeah. And then Cincinnati's there also. So you have a lot to do there. And if you wanted to take the kids, Cincinnati has a very popular zoo and children's activities there.
Well, I guess, you know, casino group therapy, I think everybody who goes to casinos realize they're not the same they were 5 years ago. They continue to change, but don't you agree, Jane, most of the changes are good?
Yeah, I think they've been good. I think I haven't been opposed to any. But then, again, you and I aren't loyalists, let's say. We don't...
Well, you better explain that.
We don't go to one casino. You know, it'd be close... The closest one to us is the Rivers, which you like. I don't care too much for it, but you do. But we have Rocky Gap that we like up in the mountains in Maryland, and we go to the Meadows in Washington, PA. We like Charlestown, the Hollywood at Charlestown, West Virginia.
Lemecolon a little bit.
Lemecolon, yeah, we like that one too. So we like to go. They all feature something different from another one. And, of course, our line always is your favorite casino is the one you're winning at. And so that plays a little bit into it, too. But, you know, when you can just see sometimes when you're in a casino and it's fairly empty, you're thinking, wow, you know, they're going to have to do something to attract more people. And then speaking of the RV park, I did forget to mention that when we stopped down in Belterra on this trip, too, we were talking to people there, and Belterra doesn't have its own RV park, but they do have their guests utilize one that's about a mile down the road. And we went down there, too, and there were at least 70 vehicles there, and that was on Thursday before the big weekend.
I don't know if you agree with me, but I think if someone buys an RV, they probably have discretionary income for gambling, too. And I think the casino sees that. These people can afford an RV. They can afford to come in here and put money in a slot machine, too. You agree?
Oh, I think that's true, and I think they are trying to, you know, get people to go there that and make it more of a whole vacation experience for them as opposed to just going, you know, just driving there for the evening, what have you. And I know there I've met a lot of the RV folks that they like to go out every weekend somewhere. You know, they're not going on, they're not driving across the country, a lot of them, but they are going locally, and they have some kids, or they have
a dog
or two, or cats, or they have parents that they take care of, and they take them along. They enjoy casinos, let's face it. That's one thing you know, walkers are welcome, and canes, and, you know, they like to go there. Elder, I mean, you look at my mother. She lived to be 93, and she liked to go.
Yeah, that's true.
We took her to, three different states.
Well, I hope this segment of casino group therapy helped to kind of take away some of the fear you might have and anxiety you have about changes in casinos, because with Janie's blessing, we can say, you know, generally, change is a good thing.
Right, and also, we're going to see more changes. This isn't the end. We've talked about this with the millennials coming up, and they don't see casinos in the way that you or I see it. We have a relative who, he's with the Casinos USA team. He and his wife go to Las Vegas frequently to follow certain groups. One of them is 311.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just about gambling for
millennials. No, they definitely go for the group. They're supporting that group, and they like to go, and they've met friends. You know, they make friends with people who are coming from other parts of the country. So it's a whole different social experience. So I just see that more and more changes might be coming. And I might add into this, we've liked the Boyd Company for years.
Make a big announcement here, don't you?
We've gone to Blue Chip for years in Michigan City. That's one of our very
Michigan
favorite.
Michigan City, Indiana.
You're right. That's one of our favorite casinos. And we all know the Boyds owned the Stardust, but then and they own Sam's Town, and they own
and
casinos
Boyd's,
in Atlantic
Boyd
City
supported
in Mississippi.
Boyd supported my book.
Okay, well, they bought Belterra and Belterra Park.
Oh, my.
So that's
there's an
changed.
Exclusive right here. Say it again, Jane.
Well, and it's funny because Pinnacle, who owned Belterra, bought the Meadows not long ago, about a year ago, if that even. And then to have them turn around and then Boyd's. But I guess they wanted part of southern Indiana, too, since they are such a big presence in northern Indiana.
Okay, so yeah, you got the scoop right here from Janie, okay? So thanks again, Jane. Appreciate your information today. And if anybody wants to give us a call and support Janie's desire to buy an RV so little Oliver, our dog, could go with us on these casino trips, feel free. And then just discuss anything about casinos and your own casino capers. We'd be happy to hear from you. And also, if we can, use some of your call on our international podcast, I should say. Our answering service is 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday.
Hey, every day is Saturday.